بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we start a new chapter, باب نهي الرجل والمرأة عن خضاب شعرهما بسواد. The chapter on the prohibition of a man or woman dyeing their hair black. Yesterday we did the hadith wherein Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the Jews and Christians do not dye their hair, so act contrary to them. And under the explanation we say dyeing the head, dyeing the hair except dyeing with the color black. So we explained that in the hadith specifically it comes that pure black is not permitted for a man, because one of the reasons ulama give is that a man is not supposed to deceive anybody. So if a person, for example, is an old person and now he dyes his hair pure black, so what happens, sometimes he can deceive. For example, he goes for a proposal and now the woman thinks that this is a young man. In other words, he's an old man but he's a young, and he's pretending to be a young man. So it can cause some type of deception and people can be harmed by this type of person. Or a person goes for an interview for a job and now he dyes his hair pure black. But when he dyes his hair pure black, now the person that is interviewing, now he thinks that he's employing a young staff. Meanwhile, this person is an old person. So we know that sometimes the person's job description fits a young person better than the old person. So Islam, Sharia doesn't like this type of deception. So therefore, specifically where it is pure black. Therefore, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this chapter also telling us where a person dyes the hair black. Ulama explained that where the dye is such that it is blackish. In other words, it's a dark red that is blackish, or another dark color that is blackish, then it is permissible. But pure black is not permissible. So sometimes it is a dye, black dye that you get, or sometimes it is a mehndi. It doesn't matter if it's a mehndi or it's a dye, but it should not be pure black. So this is the chapter that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought, showing the prohibition. As we go on, we'll explain a little bit further. An Jabirin radiallahu anhu qal, utiya bi Abi Quhafata, والد أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما يوم فتح مكة ورأسه ولحيته كالثغامة بياضا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم غيروا هذا واجتنبوا السواد رواه مسلم. حضرت جابر رضي الله عنه narrates that أبو قحافة the father of حضرت أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه was brought on the day of the conquest of Mecca to accept Islam. So he was brought on that day to the conquest of Mecca. Many people were accepting Islam. One of the people that were brought to accept Islam was Hazrat Abu Quhafa, the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His head and beard were completely white. He was old at that time, he was very old at that time. His hair and his beard was completely white. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the expression was used here was kathagama. Thagama is actually a tree whose leaves or fruit are completely white. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, explaining to him that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to him here that he should change it. So the expression that is used in hadith is that his head and his beard was so white, it was looking like the sagama tree whose fruits and leaves are completely white. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that change this but abstain from black. غَيِّرُوا هَذَا وَاجْتَنِبُوا السَّوَادِ. Change this but abstain from black. So here we see that to dye, for a person to dye his beard with some mehndi or some other color, so long as it is not pure black, now this is permissible and in fact it is preferable. Sometimes we might ask ourselves, why do we see our Buzurganuddin, the old people sometimes, that they don't dye their beard if this is the case. So there are two instances. One is, when it comes to consuming up their time, they are very, very careful of what takes up their time. Now for a person to continuously dye his beard and maintain it takes a little bit of time. Now we find that the pious people, that they are all the time involved in something. So the fear is that they may be to do something that is mustahab, something that is preferable. They may leave out something that is more worthy of doing. So therefore very often they don't pay too much of attention as far as their beard and their hair. Not to say in terms of neatness, but in terms of continuously dyeing it and maintaining it, now they rather spend their time because of their condition. So because of that, we shouldn't say now why a person hasn't changed it or hasn't dyed it. No, it shouldn't be like that, because they were so focused. So that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, this hadith comes in Abu Dawud Sharif, that he says that one day I was fixing up, patching up the wall, like how we take plaster and you put on the wall to fix up all that holes that are there on the wall. So he was taking some type of sand or clay and he was just plastering and patching up the wall. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him that, what are you doing? He said that I am fixing the wall. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Al-amru asra'u min dhalik. Qiyamah is even closer than you fixing up the wall. In other words, there are bigger things for you to worry about in worrying about fixing up the wall also. There are bigger things for you to be concerned about. And this was the worry and the concern of Sahaba. Everything was about Akhirat. Everything was about the Ummah. How the Ummah can benefit. So many times, therefore, you see, many times, people don't have time for this also. So we don't look down upon them. Nor should we make any comments about them. This person wishes to die, this person doesn't wish to die. Sometimes it's a tabiat thing also. A person doesn't like to die, he doesn't like that color, whatever it is. It is his personal preference. So the best thing for us to do rather is focus on those things that we need to do. There was one Sahabi. He had built a house. And when he built a house, he built like an overarching dome on that house. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had seen this. He was very upset, but he kept it to himself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't say anything. It was the style of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that most of the time he never addressed a person directly. If he had to say something, he'll say it in a general audience. The person that was there will automatically get the message and he will correct it. So this Sahabi that had built this, he was not there to witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upset about it. He didn't perceive it, he didn't know about it. But when he came to speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam seemed to be avoiding him. Now immediately the Sahabi, he picked up, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is upset with me. Now they were not like us, that if we see some senior or some biased person upset with us, we'll just think, one of those things, and we'll carry on. He worried him, so he went and asked the other Sahaba, that it seems as though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is upset with me. So they told him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had asked about your building, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam seemed to be expressed his unhappiness. Didn't say anything, but from his expression we could see that he was unhappy about the building. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't unhappy about the building in itself. He was unhappy that he had put an overarching dome over the building. In other words, he's putting something in that building that was unnecessary. It wasn't a need, it wasn't something that was needed in the building. It was something that was spent over and above the necessity of the building. When the Sahabi heard this, he went and he raised the whole building down to the ground. If this is the thing that is going to make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam unhappy, then I don't even need this. Even the thing that is permissible also, I don't need it. He went and took it out completely to the ground. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was walking past again, he asked, what happened to it? What happened to this building? So then Sahaba had told him that he had asked us, and we had told him that you were unhappy about this. Therefore, he now raised it to the ground. On that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that all money that is spent on building, all money that is spent in this type of things will be wabal. Wabal means it will be a means of some type of regret, some type of nuksan on that person, except where illa la buddala, except where it has to be spent. In other words, it's absolutely necessary. A person's house is leaking, a person needs it for whatever reason, there's some problem, there's dampness coming, water coming. Now a person is going and he's building it. But where a person is unnecessarily just putting things on it, just to impress people, this is something that would be a wabal for a person, a means of regret, a means of a bad ending for a person where he does these types of things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us that this is something that a person doesn't know. So all the time a person has to check his niyat. Yes, I'm spending, there's no problem. But is there some benefit for what I'm doing? If it's only benefit for other people's eyes, then I shouldn't be spending this money, even on building, whether it's my own house, or whether I'm building it for somebody else. But if there's no benefit for it and it's just for show, then that money shouldn't be spent in that direction. Unfortunately, today we see how much of money is being sent just to impress the eye. There's no real benefit for what is being done. It can be done in a much cheaper way, in a much more practical way, but just to impress the eye, how much we are spending. And here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it will be a wabal for a person, except where he has to spend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.